My sisters and brothers, good morning and welcome to worship. Our opening hymn is hymn 11. It's written in today's bulletin. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
First reading is from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry you to violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is in your pew bulletins, and we will read it by whole verse together. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong, for they shall soon wither like the grass, and like the green grass fade away. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on its riches. Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire. Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will make your righteousness clear as the light, and your just dealing as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers, and the one who succeeds in the evil schemes. Refrain from anger, leave rage alone. Do not fret yourselves, it leads only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall possess the land. A reading from the second letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard that day what have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that time, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good day today. We thank God for the beauty and the blessing of this day. Couldn't have it any better. It's a pleasure to be here in Burnett from North Austin and to worship with you. You probably have heard the story, but it is worth repeating. This is a story about David. David is a devout Christian man who loves nature so much that he enjoys hiking in the woods. So often while hiking, he will fill his time with prayers, intercessory prayers for everyone who is in his life. On one of those excursions in a deserted mountainous area, on this particular day, David tripped on the root of a tree and began to spiral down and just roll down the hill in the valley below him. As he tumbled downwards, he frantically reached for anything he could grab onto hold. Fortunately, his hands grabbed a tree branch, which he held on for dear life. The only problem was that he was now hanging about 200 feet and below him was a rocky landing area. It meant certain death should he have let go, or at least serious injuries. So as he prayed for miracle, he began to scream out loud for any passersby who could hear. And as he screamed, "Help! Help! Is anybody there?" he thought he heard God calling him by name and asking him to let go of the tree branch. So to be sure, David asked, "God, is that you out there?" And the voice replied, "Yes, David, I'm here to save you. Just let go." David looked down below him from where he was perched at the edge of a cliff, and realizing he wasn't going to get a soft landing, he looked up and asked, "Is anyone else out there?" Is anyone else out there? In the letter to the Hebrews, the writer says it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In today's gospel reading, we hear the disciples of Jesus asking their teacher for more faith. We can tell from the kinds of questions that these disciples ask that they weren't quite sure what they got themselves into when they signed up to be disciples of Jesus. Today's petition, "Lord, increase our faith," is another example of their lack of understanding. And frankly, we can't blame them. Because just before this passage, Jesus had overwhelmed them with something about going to Jerusalem and stuff would happen in Jerusalem to him, and he would be, arrested and tried and even killed. So they were overwhelmed. And I can understand why they're asking. Because they're headed toward Jerusalem. And they knew something big was happening, but they just didn't know exactly what it was. But they were worried about how those events would impact their lives. You see, in the first four verses before our passage today, Jesus had informed the disciples that occasions will come for stumbling, but woe to the one who will cause that stumbling. And oh, it gets even better. Jesus tells them that when a brother or sister sins against them and repents, and then comes back to ask for forgiveness again and again, even seven times a day, they should forgive. No wonder the disciples were pleading to have their faith increased, because surely they thought it's going to take a lot more than friendship with Jesus to be able to tolerate, let alone to maintain, a relationship with someone who is a repeat offender. So when Jesus called his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, none of them could have imagined what they really meant. None of them thought that this would be it. Now they were heading towards Jerusalem, and they needed to prepare themselves for what was about to happen. They needed to be ready for when Jesus was no longer with them. Again, the author of the letter to the Hebrews wrote, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Perhaps the disciples of Jesus thought that faith was something like an asset to be accumulated. In other words, the person with the most faith gets a front row seat in heaven. But obviously, as we know, there's an inherent flaw, an inherent danger in that assumption. Because it would mean that one could master the art of accumulating more faith, then one would be a better Christian. But no.
Jesus is saying all it takes to do great things is a faith as tiny as a mustard seed. Simply put, simple, not simplistic, but simple faith and trust in God is all it takes to do extraordinary things. The late theologian Henry Nouwen goes on to write, whenever Jesus says to people he has healed, go because your faith had made you well, he's saying that they have found a new life because they have surrendered in complete trust to the love of God revealed in him. Bishop William Willimon of the United Methodist Church describes faith this way. He says, faith is a gift from God and not something we have to work hard to get. My friends, you see, the faith which Jesus is speaking about with his disciples is one about trusting God with our lives, our very lives. It's about knowing and believing that God is faithful, that God will always, always remain faithful. It is about a relationship that is grounded in the knowledge that we are the beloved children of God. And there is absolutely nothing, no nothing, that can separate us from the love of God. It seems apparently that most of the time, just as in this particular case, our problem with lack of faith is fear. Just like David, it is fear. What will happen if I let go of this branch and fall? Will God really be there to catch me? Sometimes our lack of faith is fear of the unknown. What will happen if I gave my last to this person in need? Will I have something tomorrow? What will happen to me without enough insurance when I get sick? What will happen to me without life insurance if when I die? It is fear of the unknown. So all the healing miracles that Jesus performed in his earthly ministry showed his total trust in God. Trust in God to use him as an instrument of healing, one life at a time. For us then, faith requires constant trust in God. Through the daily acts that we perform and the mercy we show to our neighbors, one neighbor at a time, even to our strangers. Faith requires us to live fully and abundantly in a trusting relationship with the God who can use us in ways that we can never imagine to bring about transformation, yes, to change us and to change others. I once read faith described as a muscle in our body. When your muscle is in constant use, it builds up and gets stronger. But when neglected, it withers and dies. Somehow by telling his disciples that they only needed to have a tiny faith to be faithful agents of God and of good change in the world, Jesus is saying in the sense that the way we carry on our daily lives is full of opportunities for God's grace to break in through the hardness of our hearts, for God's love to break in through a difficult world and transform lives around us. What may seem to you and me as mundane and ordinary can be used by God as a moment of grace to change someone's life circumstances. What may seem as too little, too insignificant, can be used by God to accomplish great things. Essentially, asking for an increase in my faith is like asking God to increase my bank account so that I can respond to the needs of the poor. Or asking God to increase my faith is like asking Him to be able to show kindness, to give Him more faith so that I can show kindness to the miserable and the lonely. Some of us have the misperception that an act of faith needs to be costly or extravagant before it can merit God's attention. But in today's gospel, actually, Jesus dispels that myth and invites you and me into a trusting and loving relationship with God and our neighbor. I guess we can begin by living our lives with total trust. Trust in the God who called us His beloved at our baptism. The God whose love for us is unconditional, so much so that we can confidently love and embrace others because He loved us first. Indeed, it may seem to be a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the loving God. Yet, our God is loving, so loving, that only He can give us the faith we need to do what is necessary and what needs to be done. And now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish so much more than we can either ask or desire or imagine. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus in all generations. Amen.
Suffer from any grief or trouble. imparted eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in the heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jim, Jill, Karen, David, Alan, Shelby, Patty, Carol, Sarah, Chris, Pat, Maureen, Jim, Diane, Joey, Claude, RG, Alicia, Kristen, Mark, Martin, George, John, people of Ukraine, Degatier family, Martha and family. For those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Brian, Jared, Chris, Eric, Jonathan, all in harm's way. We pray for all who are traveling this week, Diane Hayes, Father Michael and Sherry, Emily James. We pray for all who have died, especially Neil Glawyer, Queen Elizabeth II, and Winifred Roden. We pray in thanksgiving with Jim Curran and Lynn Gray, who celebrate their birthdays this week.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, guide the nations of the world into the way of justice and truth, and establish among them that peace which is the fruits of righteousness, that they may become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your way to the glory of your name. Amen.
The Almighty God have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
My sisters and brothers, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Wife too. That's right. That's right.
Of course.
And we will have stuff afterwards. So.
I don't know if all y'all heard, but our
walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who
who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it to give it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah.
Dear sisters and brothers, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ our Lord died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray in the words of the post-communion prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now set us forth as a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love for the world and continue the risen life of Christ our Savior.
Amen.
May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always.
Amen. Amen.
Let us go in peace and love and serve the Lord. Hallelujah.